Welcome, WGXC listeners. I am Matthew Whitney Harrington, and this is Live by Life. We are here with Jared. He is a TJ WGXC and works for Camp Hill Hudson. He is also a family man. Welcome, Jared.
Thanks, Matt. It's great to be here. Really appreciate you guys having me. You sound great so far.
Yes, and why don't the rest of us in the studio say hello? This is Michael. And
this is Rachel.
And this is Kelly.
And yeah, we're happy to have you here, Jared.
How you pronounce your last name?
Okay, so a couple answers. I guess the Americanized pronunciation is Widjescoog. So Widjescoog, yeah. I think it's mostly the way you would read it, but the O is long. It's Swedish. My dad's from Finland. So they would say Widjescoog. Well, my cousins and aunts and uncles say Widjescoog. So you can say either.
Might be a hard for me.
Yeah, Widjescoog is fine. I don't mind if you mess it up, honestly.
Thanks for clearing that up.
Hey, Jared, this is Kelly. Good to see you. Where were you born, and what was life like growing up in Stuyvesant?
I was born in Albany at St. Peter's Hospital in 1979. And growing up in Stuyvesant was fun. You know, it was definitely a different world then, but we would play in the woods a lot. We would just like ride our bikes around. You know, back then the parents would just kind of let their kids loose and we'd kind of just show up at home for dinner sometimes. But it was a very outdoorsy kind of childhood, playing in the dirt, playing in the woods, swimming in the pool, riding bikes, playing baseball, kind of your classic American rural summer life. It was fun growing up there.
Well, this kind of ties into what I asked you before. Tell us some of your memories growing up there.
Okay. So, I'm picturing like spraying my brothers with the hose. I remember chasing my Finnish grandmother around. I was like 4 years old, being like butt naked and chasing her around with the hose. And she was like running around the yard. I think there's pictures of that. She used to visit from Finland when she was alive occasionally. Just fun memories. Running in the cow, there's a cow field across the road, so sometimes we would chase the cows, even though we're not supposed to do that, but you know how kids get into mischief. I had two brothers, so we were always ripping on each other, you know, making fun of each other. But there was a lot of love there. There was definitely a lot of fun and love.
And cow chasing.
Yeah. Sometimes people, when I moved to cities, like, oh, do you guys tip cows? And I'm like, I've never really, I don't know anybody. It's not really, if you chase a cow, they're going to run away. So I don't.
Well, for the viewers, Kelly's got a cow, spotted cow jacket on. So you might be getting chased in Hudson, Kelly.
God. We will not tip you, Kelly, or chase you.
Oh, come on. Give it up.
But yeah, we would, the cows, the dairy barn across the street, actually, we would walk to it and with a pitcher of milk to get it filled up. And you just don't see that anymore, you know, like a metal pitcher. And I remember the wire was like so heavy on my little hand carrying it back, like the quarter mile home. Gosh, now that you ask me these questions, it sounds like definitely like a bygone era. And I guess in some ways it is. But I'll say Stuyvesant definitely still has a lot of its character remaining as an agricultural town.
I mean, you already spoke a little bit about, you know, your grandmother coming from Finland. But the question I was curious, mostly because of your name, is your heritage, lineage, and how far back does your roots go in this area?
Yeah, so a couple generations ago, you know, none of my family was in America yet. So my dad was the one who immigrated. The grandmother I mentioned was just visiting from Finland. So yeah, my dad came into the States when he was 23. He moved to the city and did construction. didn't speak any English. He had a seventh grade education, so he definitely worked his way, you know, up. And my mom grew up in the Bronx, in Jewish, in a little tiny apartment in an all Jewish neighborhood. I think the neighborhood's changed. I think it's maybe Latino, Latinx community at this time. But yeah, my parents met at City College in New York, and they bought our house in like 1976. And my dad, it was a piece of junk, and my dad fixed. Nobody wanted to buy it, but my dad had the skills.
We ring the bell if we like something.
Oh, okay. All right. I was like, is that the bell if I'm boring or talking too long? But okay. No. Thanks, Kel.
That's Kelly smiling. Yeah.
So let me see if I answer. Yeah. So my mom's the Jewish side is a Polish and Russian and a mix of, you know, countries. A German, I should say. My mom's dad came from Germany. So he's a full German Jew.
Okay. You look like you were going to say something about that, Rachel, about his heritage.
Yeah. I think that's pretty awesome.
Yeah, you and I share some of that. Yeah.
Yeah.
What, I mean, some Jewish side.
Mm-hmm. What, do you have a favorite holiday
on your Jewish side? You know, of course I am Jewish, so I guess I do like celebrating the Jewish holidays myself.
Yeah. Do you like Passover or Hanukkah?
I like Hanukkah. I like Passover. I like Rosh Hashanah.
Mm-hmm. It's all
and other things. But I really am looking forward to doing Passover with my housemate, Tamara.
Mm.
So that's been buzzing on me. So I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah. We both have like two different cultures in our family, you know, like this.
Yeah, but my heritage is mostly a mix of Russian too.
Mm-hmm.
I got a little bit of Russian, but mostly African American,
mm-hmm.
English and things like that. But I'm still not Jewish.
Americans, huh?
American.
Yep.
Did you want to read your question, Rachel? Yeah.
Yes. Hi, Jared. This is Rachel. Tell us what Columbia County and Hudson was like in the 1990s and 2000s.
So I wasn't here as much in the 2000s because of college, and I was living in cities after college, but I would say in the 90s and 80s, Hudson was really different. I mean, anyone who's from here remembers how much it's changed. I remember we didn't go to Hudson a lot, but I remember there was an amazing toy store on Warren Street. Of course, as a child, that's what I remember the most, is this old toy store and the hardware store. But yeah, I definitely remember a lot of vacant storefronts, you know. You know, there was definitely a lot of, this is before the urban renewal period, gentrification and stuff like that. But it was always a great community. Columbia County, in some ways it hasn't changed too much. In some ways it's gotten fancier in some ways. In some ways it's gotten more expensive. But it's still a great place to be. You know, I chose to settle down here because it's still got a lot of the same character that it always had. I love the people. People are, I feel like, really nice and friendly and welcoming. Like, whether you're from here or whether you're new, everyone is really nice.
Do you think the changes in Hudson and Columbia County, how do you feel about it? Do you think it, compared to what it was 20, 30 years ago?
I think there's been a lot of positive changes. I'll say when I was a teenager, imagine like five high school boys driving around being bored. I'm air quotes now, right? I had a great time driving around being bored with my friends, but that was kind of our thing, was that there was nothing to do here. It was like, you know, and there people would put on basement shows, rock shows, and, you know, little venues, but But I remember thinking, like, we need more, like, venues for shows and arts. And, like, obviously WGXC is a huge part of that. Like, this is what I wished for when I was a kid. I wanted something like GXC. I wanted something like, you know, you got the Avalon or you got the Half Moon or the Opera House. You guys have a show coming up soon, right?
Yes. Yeah.
So, yeah.
And I'm in the spotlight.
I can't wait. I know there's going to be, what is it, March 20th? You guys are going to be
April 29th at Hudson Hall. Yeah.
Do you saw my poster that Joey did for me?
And April 28th, too.
Jared?
Oh, I haven't seen it yet. I'll check it out, though.
Well, you see, I was with Jody, and she was making me pretty and everything look like a diva. So I felt, I'm not done, Kelly.
Oh, yeah. We're just applauding.
She's doing it because she's saying
we're encouraging
yes.
you. We like it.
I know because yeah. I feel good about myself. But when Joy put me in the spotlight, I feel like I'm totally glammed up like a diva. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, wow, this is so cool.
Yeah, I think that's a good example of how Hudson and the area has changed for the better. There's just more opportunities for people of, you know, all walks of life to do like creative things and just to get out there and to watch stuff and participate.
Yeah, I hope you was, if you see the poster, I hope you will like it.
That, yeah, I'm going to check it out for sure.
Yes.
Okay. So
when did you get into music and teaching? What is it about teaching that you like or love?
So some of my earliest kind of memories with music is like definitely in fourth grade. I was like, I found my mom's Beatles records and I got really into Guns N' Roses that year and like Motown and oldies. But it wasn't until like eighth grade when I really became like obsessed with music. You remember Columbia House, Tom, you know, these old record clubs where you could order like 15 tapes or CDs for like a penny, you know? So when I got that, you know, I had everything from like Nirvana to En Vogue. And I was like, it's over. I was like, this is my life. I remember when I was 14 and looking at adults and thinking about like, adults aren't really that into music anymore. But I was like, I don't think that'll be me. I think I'm going to be really into this for the long haul. And that's true. College, I was into college radio. And then after college, I was into like promoting records to radio stations around North America. And I'm always looking for new stuff that I haven't heard. And what I love about being a DJ is it's a great opportunity to share my music that I love with you guys who are listening and you guys who are interviewing me. For me, music feels like medicine or air or food. It's just good for the soul. I feel like I'm a much happier person because I'm into music. And so I feel like if I can turn you on to something that makes your day a little bit better, like that means a lot to me. That's like the best thing I could ask for, is to make you feel more joy. And that's what I love about being on the radio.
You can play some my favorite diva singer, Mariah Carey.
Oh yeah, you like Mariah? I'll play some Mariah.
I love Mariah Carey. She's my favorite singer.
My show is Fridays from noon till 2, so I'm on tomorrow and I'll play you some Mariah.
Oh,
that would be so great.
We'll have to turn it on maybe before or after lunch tomorrow.
That
goes right into your question, Matt.
Tell us about your Sugar Shack radio show on WGXC.
So Sugar Shack has been on, I just realized it was the 10-year anniversary of it, and March 1st, 2013 is when I started. And Tom was here, of course, and Lynn Sloniker and Galen were still here. And so the Sugar Shack, it's almost 400 episodes into it. What can I say about that show? The way I just kind of play what I feel like playing that day, I feel like to make a good show, if I'm just true to what I want to hear at that moment, then that's what I play. So if I feel my mood changing, I'll change the music. It's kind of an improvisational show. Once in a while, I'll pick songs ahead of time, or I'll have a special show. But usually, I just kind of go with, like, what is the weather like? How do I feel? And it's a Friday afternoon show, so it does kind of have some, like, TGIF vibes, if you will. It's kind of, like, anticipates the weekend. So sometimes I play mellow or melancholic music, but it tends to be a little bit more mid-tempo, upbeat. It tends to be... There's definitely like some funky threads and poppy threads that run through it all. But I often tell people it's a multi-decade, multi-genre show. Goes roughly back to the 1960s through today.
How did you come up with the name of Sugar Shack, and what does it mean?
So that was something I struggled with, because it was like I had limited time to think of a show name. And I was like, I wanted it to be, if you heard the name of the show, you knew it was a music show. So I feel like you hear Sugar Shack Jukebox, that's music. And I wanted it to have the sense of like, you're in a bar, or you're in a club, or it's a nightlife. It's a fun thing when you hear songs that talk about sugar or sugar shacks and things like that. There's a little bit of a vibe of like a little bit of a party. So
like candy?
Like candy, right, exactly. So
what?
Yeah. So so that's sort of how I came up with it. Yeah, hope that answers your question.
What are some of your favorite Sugar Shack songs?
Oh geez. There's so many. You know, I don't repeat songs a lot, but I think there are over the years a few that I do kind of go back to. Like one I like to whip out sometimes is this is Radio Clash by The Clash. There's one by Janelle Monáe called Sincerely Jane, which I feel like that's like a modern R&B masterpiece. I feel like it's kind of like the good vibrations of modern R&B. What else? Some West African music. There's a song by Bembeya Jazz National called Dagna. That's D-A-G-N-A. It's so beautiful. Let me think if there's any other pop out.
Well, West African jazz sounds amazing as a genre, but
definitely
we should play segments.
It's not super jazzy sounding, but they have horns. Well, the horns aren't in that song, but yeah, that's one of the favorites I've discovered over the years. That's just to name a few. It's hard to start. And
we thought this might be putting you on the spot. We wondered if we could do a promo for your show.
Would you please?
This is a Sugar Shack promo with our crazy Jared W.
Crazy.
You want to do one more take?
That's me.
You want to do one more take?
No, that's enough.
Okay. You've had enough. You're on a diet. Okay. Can we have...
You all listen to Sugar Shack's Shoebox with Jared W.
All right, I love it.
Well, I like that.
Thank you.
Awesome.
Okay, no DJ there.
You all listen to Sugar Shack's Shoebox with Jared DJ.
All right.
How did you come to work at or for Co-Arc, and what was your experience there?
Good question. I had a great experience with Co-Arc. I first started with Co-Arc in 2005, in 2006, at the end of Warren Street. There used to be a Promenade Hill day hab. So I kind of stumbled across it as a job, but it kind of changed my outlook completely of people and working with people. So that's when I realized I want to work with folks with special needs. I went to the city for a few years and worked in some schools and after school programs. But when I came back, I went back to work with Co-Arc. I realized I wanted to settle down in Columbia County. When I realized that this is where I'm staying, I went right back to Co-Arc, worked there for 8 years, built up some great experience. And worked in the houses and then in self-direction. And then that led me to you guys at Camp Hill.
Okay, and we're going to ask about that. I had a question about, because when you and I chatted one time, you mentioned that you lived outside of Columbia County in the 2000s, and so we're curious, what were you doing college and after?
So I went to one of the SUNY schools, SUNY Binghamton, after going to school at Ichabod Crane. So I was, after Binghamton, I was in Boston for 2 years. That was where I did the college radio promotions job. And then I came back to Columbia County after Boston for that couple years. That's when I worked for CoArc. Then I moved down to New York City for 4 years. I lived in Brooklyn, and I worked in Brooklyn and Queens. And then I did 2 years in Chicago. And, you know, I worked with unions, and I worked with Delicious Coffee and with Patagonia as well. So there's a variety of good, great jobs there. Yeah.
You were doing coffee?
Separately, yeah. So I worked for Intelligentsia Coffee, which makes like the bomb, amazing coffee.
I've tasted it.
It changed my life. And ever since then, I'm doing pour overs and buying the expensive coffee. So I love it. But yeah, I worked at Patagonia for a little bit in one of the stores. But the real life-changing job in Chicago was being a union organizer and just meeting people in all throughout the city and throughout the suburbs and in the surrounding area of Chicago.
What a small world. My parents, and as his parents, raised in Brooklyn for verification.
Oh, really? Yeah.
Yeah, have a great time.
You guys have a lot of Midwestern roots, don't you?
Yeah.
Michigan too, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, I really.
The Patagonia? Is that what you're saying?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Nice.
Yeah, the Midwest. I went out there. It was kind of a random thing, but it was a great city to live in for a couple years. Just to kind of bring it back home, when I settled back down, in Columbia County was kind of when the CoArc thing happened. And then I went to Camp Hill just because you guys are so small and such like a family. And I was looking for that kind of that intimacy of a small community.
How do you join Camp Hill Hudson? And what is your role at Camp Hill Hudson?
So my role has to do with folks who self-direct, like you guys, you self-direct your lives, your services. So that was something I started doing with CoArc, was being the fiscal intermediary is the name of the job if you're kind of in charge of self-direction. So it was just a fascinating model. I think anyone who has, kids with special needs should look into self-direction, because it allows you more control over, you want to take community classes, right? Or do all kinds of fun things. You get a lot more say over how your life looks. So that's kind of where I fell in love with that model at CoArc. And when I saw that Camp Hill was doing self-direction too, I emailed Nathan, our executive director at the time, Nathan McLaughlin, and we started communicating and we got in touch. So he invited me to apply once they created a position. The rest is history. That was 2 years ago.
I know, it feels a lot longer, but we're very happy to have you here.
Yeah.
Speaking of the self-direction program, Rachel, Kelly, Matthew, you're all in that program. And so you already spoke about it a little bit, Jared, but yeah, my question was, how does your day-to-day work affect people like Kelly, Matt, Rachel?
Yeah. So, basically what I'm doing is, overseeing your services and your budgets, your self-direction budgets. So I work with Sarah, who's your support broker, to decide if you need to do more of one kind of activity. We might need to look at the expenditures and move money along. People get things like housing subsidies, and we need to maintain compliance for that. We need to collect a lot of documents, honestly. Half of my job is very revolving around administrative organization. We need this document, we need that document, keeping things organized. However, because I work closely with Sarah, it's like yin and yang. She works with which staff you're going to be with, where you want to go. So together we help each other, so your life just kind of just flows the way that you like it to.
Well, like if I want to go to a Passover Seder with my housemate, I hope that would be okay for me to do.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, sure. Absolutely.
Because I know Passover is coming up and I want to do something with my housemate, with Tamara, because that's something I really want, like to do.
Well, that reminds me that you sometimes take classes, right, at the temple in Catskill, right, Rachel? Or via Zoom sometimes?
I usually do, but sometimes me and Rabbi Zoe, we try to do things by phone. Mm-hmm. Like mostly on FaceTime, we do lessons.
Okay. Well, great. So that's something that like we pay her
lesson
through your budget.
Yeah, so from my budget, mm-hmm. my finance, and when it comes to shopping, that's something I do with Tamara. Like,
and Tamara is your, what's the name we call that? She's your live-in.
My living care
caregiver. Yeah,
caregiver.
Well, if
so
I remember correctly, I think Billy now does a schedule instead of Sarah.
Mm-hmm. Yep,
yeah,
right. So Billy helps out too.
I was talking about something different. I know he does the schedule, but with Tamara, she's my caregiver and housemate. So she had been very responsible with my money and my finance. Mm-hmm. And she does shopping with me. So she tried to improvise the same thing to Stephanie and not too much on you, Jared.
Mm-hmm. And you, Rachel, and Matthew, you guys have living caregivers, and Kelly has a paid neighbor, right, Kel?
Correct.
So that's all part of your self-direction budgets. So, you know, I'm working out the agreements with those, keeping the agreements fresh, making sure they're paid, making sure there's money in your budget, and so on.
Yeah. Kelly or Matt, do you have anything you want to mention to Jared about how he's doing with your self-direction, or you're
what
cool.
Does that mean?
Never mind. I just thought because Rachel spoke a lot, but yeah.
I think you're doing a fabulous job with it.
Well, thanks.
You got the good work.
As long as there's no problems in your day to day, then I feel like I'm okay and we're okay. So
I agree.
Thanks, Matt.
Okay.
And it can be a really stress for me sometimes.
Well,
not so much for me because I have that taken care of with Maria.
Yeah.
Well, I wasn't worried about Maria, but it's kind of stressed with me when it comes to money. When I feel like, oh, I'm paying this or I'm paying that, I was like, oh God, I feel like I feel like people want my money. Mm.
And since Tamara became your living caregiver, it sounds like you're a lot maybe less worried about. I think she helps you a lot in that area. Right.
Yeah, yeah, she does. Less worried, not much stress. Try to be calm.
Yeah.
So I'm working on that. Tell us about the recent Valentine's dance at Campa Hudson Space Mercury Playhouse.
Oh, yes. Yeah. So I DJ'd your guys' Valentine's dance here on Warren Street at the Leader Mercury's Playhouse on Valentine's Day. It was so fun. We had a great turnout. We played, well, a variety, but a lot of 80s and 90s music, right?
Yeah.
And people were dancing like crazy. People were looking great. People had awesome outfits and hair. And I saw folks I'd never seen before. Some co-arc friends came and some people's parents and boyfriends, girlfriends, etc. It was super fun. Did you guys have fun?
Oh, baby. Yes.
Oh, baby. Yeah.
Ooh, baby,
yeah.
Baby.
In your career.
Oh, yeah. We did play that.
I would say that me a little bit here and there.
The what?
I was dancing, having a good time, but I felt like when I'm dancing, I feel like, all right, to give me a cookie. All right, to give me a cookie. Mm-hmm. I feel like, I feel like I'm being somebody's maid, and it kind of makes me feel weird.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
You get what I mean?
Get your own cookie.
Yeah, get your own cookie, or wait, if you're dancing with someone,
okay,
ask the person to get you a cookie.
Especially on the Sugar Shack Jukebox radio show.
It's all done.
It's all done.
I just had different feelings about it.
Stop. Okay.
So I would love
you. Thank you, Kelly.
I was honored to be asked to DJ, and long story short, let me know if you ever want me to help you with a party again, because
definitely.
Yeah, I like to DJ for dance parties.
Definitely, we want more DJ parties, right?
Yeah.
Do
we definitely do. Jared, yeah, hit that bell.
Getting in on the bell.
More.
I was gonna say, at least you play my favorite song at the end of the evening. First, I did it again.
Oh yeah, yeah.
From Britney Spears, because I love Britney Spears.
Yeah, and there's photos on our social Camp Hill Hudson's social media pages, Facebook and Instagram. You'll find us there and see some of the photos of Jared doing his thing and us dancing. Cool. I think, Kelly, you wanted to ask the next question.
Speak about the community aspect of Camp Hill and how that affects your work. For example, the Valentine's dance you DJ'd.
Oh yeah, I love the community aspect of Camp Hill. I try to join the morning circles sometimes, and there's just so many different festivals and performances you guys do that, and even the online stuff, like during COVID and things, there was like the Cooking with Friends show that, that's the kind of stuff that I'm sharing with people.
That was, you know, what I was a part of. Thank you very much.
Yeah. Kelly B, I love your little
that's mean.
Edited you in, and Matt, you were in it, Cooking with Friends. Yeah. Yep. Anyone who hasn't seen it on YouTube, Camp Hill Hudson's YouTube channel, go to Cooking with Friends. There's like, what, 10 episodes or something?
12. There was 12 altogether.
So
and I'm the last that did a special Cooking with Friends with, what's her?
Karen
Murphy. And it was like a Christmas special.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was
and
a Christmas special.
And I was making like very fancy avocado reef and sweet and savory baked it brie. And I was so lucky I get to try, and it was delicious.
Yeah, there's so much liveliness at Camp Hill. We eat, so speaking of food, you know, we eat together at lunch, and again, that's just it gives a lot of energy into my work, you know. So you're not just like dealing with paper and numbers all the time. So just to see your guys' faces and everyone, you guys are always so friendly to me and to everybody. And I appreciate that. It just makes my job a lot more fun and warm. So thank you guys.
You commented earlier, Jared, about how music is food for the soul, so to speak. And for me personally, community has that same effect, where being with you all, you know, on a daily basis is food for my soul. And when Rachel and I and the others were preparing for the interview, Rachel, you were talking about community quite a bit and how it's important to you.
Well,
right?
Of course.
And you love being around people.
This is totally true, because yeah. I've been in Camp Hill Triforce for 10 years, so I guess being community is important to me. I don't know what to say. My life is pretty good.
Well, there you go. And I'm sure Jared is helping in that way. So life is good.
Yeah, life
is good. Community is good.
Life is good. Community is good.
And you're in the spotlight.
And I'm in the spotlight.
Happiness.
How awesome is that?
Yep.
Great.
Okay.
You or a local school board member, tell us about your role. And what do you do?
Oh, good question. Yes, I'm on the school board. I went to Ichabod Crane, as I mentioned. So my wife and I have two kids. They go to Ichabod Crane. So I joined the school board to help to give back to the community and to be involved. So what the board does is we do not run the school. So like the superintendent runs the school and the principals run the school. But we help to advise them in terms of policies and procedures and the vision and the mission, right? So every organization has a vision of like how we want to be. And so we help to establish that tone of being the best we can be and the students being the best that they can be. And so we ask questions at the board meetings, and we help the superintendent and we help the administrators to plan so the students are happy and safe and doing the best that they can do. And so we vote on some things and have discussions.
And you went to that school that you're a board member, right?
Yeah, yeah. So I did, yeah. Yeah, so it's got a nice feeling too, personally, of just kind of coming full circle. It's amazing to drop my kids off, and you know, I have a meeting tonight with, you know, we're hiring a new superintendent, so that's a busy time to do that, you know. A lot of work to get a new superintendent hired.
And you've been waiting so long to ask this question, Rachel.
I can't wait to say it. Should I read the question?
Or ask him, yeah, read or...
Jarrett?
Yes, Rachel.
I would like to know, what is your favorite song? And I know me and Tamara, my housemate, went to see the movie Titanic on 3D. And we both have a favorite song that we love by Celine Dion, My Heart Will Go On.
Oh, wow.
It's like a very, like... great song. Yeah, I really
love. That brings me right back to my freshman year of college, because Titanic was a huge movie. No pun intended. It was huge. I'm a huge Brian Wilson and Beach Boys fan, and I love all their stuff. Yeah, the deep cuts as well as the big hits. But I mean, God, I feel like God only knows. That's hard to beat as a pop song. It's beautiful. It's perfectly put together. Their voices sound incredible. And the vocal round at the end, when they're singing God Only Knows in different melodies, it's incredible. Yeah. It's on an album called Pet Sounds, which is one of the kind of preeminent pop albums of the last 50 years. And
Beach Boys.
Yeah, Beach Boys. A couple of years ago, I did a special on GXC for the 50th anniversary of Pet Sounds, and I kind of edited together a lot of the studio tracks as they were building the album and recording it. But yeah, that's my long answer. God Only Knows, I'm gonna have to say, is my favorite.
Well, yeah. Now you know what's my favorite song.
What's that?
My Heart Would Go On.
Oh, right, of course.
Well, we've got quite a playlist now.
What do you do for fun?
What do I do for fun? I'm a big out. So aside from the music thing, which is pretty well established, I think by now. For me, it's music and outdoor adventure, like skiing. I've skied almost 20 times this season with the kids. So they're becoming avid skiers. My dad raised me on skis. I'm always like hiking and exploring and swimming and jumping into water. And I've gotten really into kayaking, into paddling the last few years, like paddling the creeks. You know, Kinderhook Creek, Claverick Creek, you know, these creeks go through the most wild places in our county. You could be behind like a Walmart and you would never know it. You'll just be like following an eagle. So, I love paddling. And the longest I've done is I paddled from Malden Bridge in the north central part of the county. I paddled the Kinderhook Creek 26 miles all the way out to the Hudson River. So you got to carry your boat around falls in Valencia and Chittenden Falls and Stockport and Stuyvesant Falls and haul your boat around all that. But it's an incredible journey. And kayaking the creeks has really opened my eyes to this next level of like hidden gems and like backdoor beauty and the nearest faraway places that you didn't know exist.
Nice. Yeah. Okay.
Okay, so we have one last question for you. This is like the question we always ask. Do you have any advice on how to live a good life?
Mm. I do, yeah. I sound like such a parent saying this, and I guess, you know, it's good advice. So I'd say be true to yourself. Be who you are. Don't try to be anybody else. It's funny, as I say that, there's a part on Frank Ocean's recent album where his mom is telling him the same thing. Don't try to be anybody else. Don't try to act like anybody else. And it's like, you may sound like somebody else, but that's because we're all people. But to be happy, like, do what feels good for yourself. Like, be nice to people, be kind, don't hurt other people. But also, we're not perfect, so don't be hard on yourself. Don't be too hard on yourself if you don't always succeed or if you make a mistake. Be thankful.
That's saying a lot. That's inspiring.
We need the bell.
I was going to say.
I'm glad it's not working.
The bell is stuck. That's,
it's working again.
We rang it so many times, the bell broke.
Well, I'm glad I did broke
oh,
it.
Okay, wait, Kelly's.
There it is.
I don't know if everybody can hear that. Yeah, well, we've got quite a playlist now. Ring My Bell, the Titanic song, West African jazz. And
I think they all sound pretty awesome.
God Only Knows.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, thank you very much, Jared.
Thank you, Jared.
Thank you, guys.
DJ,
you
guys, awesome. DJ Jared.
You guys are awesome interviewers. You're just naturals. Yeah.
DJ Jared, thank you again. WGXC, listen to his show, The Sugar Shack Jukebox Show, Fridays at 12.
Yeah, about 12:10 after the noon headlines. Yep.
And
yeah.
Mariah Carey, Always Be My Baby.
Oh, you want that one? Okay.
That's
tomorrow.
Me too. I'm a big fan.
Did you know Mariah Carey made some of those videos in Columbia County? Did you know that, Tom? Like,
no.
I didn't know that.
The cover of her Christmas album was filmed. She had a house in Copake or something. And I don't know if it was Always Be My Baby or... I'll have to ask my friend Mark, the little magician. He's more of a Mariah guy. But yeah, a couple of her videos were shot right here in Columbia County.
Okay.
And that's back in the 90s.
That
before
so cool.
That was back before it was like super cool to move here. So, yeah.
Now it's too
awesome.
Too cool to film here, right? Yeah. Okay. Thank you again.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Live by life.
Listeners.